Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 1, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter July 1, 2020. Egoism is the foundation of the nature of our world. Hence we are unable to imagine the law of nature's operation, which is not based on egoistic relationships on all degrees, still, vegetative, animate and human. It's easier to imagine the end of the egoistic world than its correction. Businessmen are interested in what is lucrative, what will be in demand tomorrow. The most in-demand thing in business now is to eliminate products that are not vitally necessary for the populace. Closing down unnecessary businesses is the most successful business. In the impoverished, chaotic world, nations will invest everything into expanding their military capacities. Instead of growing closer to one another, nations will think about how to keep enemies at a distance. It is impossible to think differently in the egoistic world. What we need is a solution for how to break free of egoism, the only evil. My new article on LinkedIn for all the pain. COVID-19 is not a punishment. Every day, I get emails and phone calls from people telling me that only 6 months ago, life smiled at them, and now they're at a loss. Their world has crumbled and they see no future. It's heartbreaking. With every passing day, humanity is feeling more and more helpless, agitated, and disoriented. People are afraid that they will not be able to feed their children. Just as that virus mandates that we think about not transmitting the bug to others, we have to start thinking about others when it comes to food, water, housing, and power supply. But what is happening is not some punishment from above, it is a calling to unite, to think about each other rather than ourselves. Only if we work together, we will be able to guarantee our future. Acting alone and worrying only about ourselves, as we have done for so long, will only exacerbate the situation. The longer we stall, the more people will join the circle of scarcity. COVID-19 is the ideal catalyst of mutual responsibility. If we don't wear masks and keep our distance, we will not only risk catching the virus, there is even more of a chance that we will transmit it to others. Just as that virus mandates that we think about not transmitting the bug to others, we have to start thinking about others when it comes to food, water, housing, and power supply. We have to teach ourselves and others about our interdependency, that we are tightly connected and dependent on everyone, including people that for one reason or another we currently hate. We are all in this together, the whole city, the whole country, the whole world. If too many people get sick, food production and supply chains will be hampered and hunger will drive people into far worse desperation than we have seen so far, and we have seen a lot. If every community, city, state, and the whole country pulls together to see that every American gets the basic needs, just the staples, because they understand that we are all in the same boat, it is enough to set the country off to a new, good future. And then we will see that for all the pain that the coronavirus has inflicted, it is not a punishment, but a lesson in mutual responsibility. My new article on LinkedIn hunger in the United States of America. When speaking of hunger, we are used to thinking of countries in South Asia, or Yemen, Syria, or in Latin America. This is no longer the case. Thanks to COVID-19, hunger is now a real threat in the US, as well. Today, every American must rise above color, race, ethnicity, or class, and simply pitch in. A wave of hunger is expected to hit Minnesota families over the next 6 months, states Frank Vassallaro on CBS Minnesota, a phenomenon not seen there since the Great Depression, as families are already diluting milk to make it last longer. But it isn't just Minnesota that's hurting from the COVID-19 crisis. All across the country, children are going hungry. According to a new study by the nonprofit organization, Hunger Free America, Child hunger has soared across America during the current health and economic crises, with 37% of parents nationwide cutting the size of meals or skipping meals for their children because they did not have enough money for food in the last month. Considering that the report was published on April 10, matters are probably even worse by now. The worst thing about the hunger crisis is not that it is happening because of an enemy from without, but simply because of absence of mutual responsibility. I have warned countless times that there will be massive job losses and people will need immediate solutions. Now it is happening as we speak. Hunger is the worst crisis that can be. A person will do anything to feed his children. If you want to devastate a country from within, don't fight it, starve it. This is what is happening today in America. The worst thing about the hunger crisis is not that it is happening because of an enemy from without, but simply because of absence of mutual responsibility. There is plenty of food, but it is not going where it's needed since the people who need it can't afford it. In such a case, the authorities should take over and guarantee that every child and every person gets food. Once this is taken care of, authorities must engage every American in sessions that inform them about the current crisis, why people are not getting food, why they cannot find a job, and what they can expect going forward. Every resident must know that finding a job is no longer a personal problem, it is a social crisis impacting the whole world. And since the whole world is connected, a crisis in one place soon migrates to every other place. When people grasp that everyone in society is dependent on everyone else, they will begin to change. You will begin to see more acts of mutual concern, more construction of community services established by the community and for the community. The government, for its part, must encourage and support these initiatives as they are the basis of the new society that will emerge, a society of mutual responsibility. There will simply be no other choice, no other way to survive. Today, every American must rise above color, race, ethnicity, or class, and simply pitch in. Medium published my new article Learning Nature's Teaching Method. In the early 1930s, my teacher's father, the great Kabbalist and illustrious thinker, Balha Sulam, wrote a groundbreaking essay titled The Peace, where he outlined how humanity can achieve peace and what will happen if it doesn't. Among other things, he articulated nature's way of tending to its creations, how it rears them until they become independent. In his words, let us take the making of a human being as an example. The love and pleasure of the progenitors are its first reason, guaranteed to perform their duty. When the essential drop is extracted from the father, nature has very wisely secured a safe place for it, which qualifies it to receive life. Nature also gives it its daily bread in the exact amount. Nature has also prepared a wonderful foundation for it in the mother's womb so that no stranger might harm it. The coronavirus has given us the chance to practice mutual responsibility. All we have to do is obey the laws, wear masks and keep our distance. If we did that for just a few weeks, we would be rid of the plague. It tends to its every need like a trained nanny who will not forget it for a moment until it has acquired the strength to emerge into our world. Then, too, nature does not abandon it. Like a loving mother, it brings it to such loving, loyal people it can trust, called mother and father, to assist it through its days of weakness until it grows and can sustain itself. As man, so are all the animals, plants, and inanimate, all are wisely and mercifully cared for to ensure their own existence and the continuation of their species. However, cautions Balha Sulam, when we grow, we must assume responsibility and start behaving more and more considerately toward each other, care for one another and for all of nature. The more we resist nature's lessons, the more insistently and painfully it teaches us. And the lesson that nature teaches us, wrote Balha Sulam almost a century ago, is to build a society based on giving rather than receiving. Because we are reluctant, he added, Humanity is being fried in a heinous turmoil, and strife and famine and their consequences have not ceased thus far. However, nature's lessons do not have to be harsh. Balhasulam writes that the wonder about it is that nature, like a skillful judge, punishes us according to our development. For we can see that to the extent that humankind develops, the pains and torments obtaining our sustenance and existence also multiply. In conclusion, writes Balhasulam, you have a scientific, empirical basis that nature has commanded us to obey with all our might the rule of bestowal upon others in utter precision, in such a way that no person among us would work any less than the measure required to secure the happiness of society and its success. As long as we are idle performing it to the fullest, nature will not stop punishing us and taking its revenge. Finally, Balhasulam warns, just a few years before World War II broke out, that besides the blows we suffer today, we must also consider the drawn sword for the future. Therefore, he adds, the right conclusion must be drawn, that nature will ultimately defeat us and we will all be compelled to join hands in following its dictates with all the measure required of us, namely to obey the rule of bestowal upon others. Nature's gradual teaching method ended in Europe's destruction and the death of tens of millions of people, since they would not listen. Now we are seeing the escalating cycle of hate becoming an ominous whirlpool that's threatening to drown the entire world once more, and the cost will be much heavier than even the previous world war. In the writings of the last generation, Balhasulam writes that a third nuclear world war will happen if we do not take upon ourselves the commandment of building a society of giving and mutual responsibility. Judging by the escalation in hate crimes and international tensions, it is easy to see his prediction materializing. But nature is a skillful judge, it will treat us according to our actions. If we choose mutual responsibility now, we will avert nature's harsh lessons. The coronavirus has given us the chance to practice mutual responsibility. All we have to do is obey the laws, wear masks and keep our distance. If we did that for just a few weeks, we would be rid of the plague. But can we? Do we care enough about others to help the world get rid of the bug? The coronavirus is a test of our commitment to each other. If we fail, nature will provide a far more stringent, and far less sympathetic, teacher. And if we keep failing, Balhasulam's prediction will come true. Medium published my new article COVID-19 and the Anxiety Epidemic. Of all the scares that COVID-19 has wrought, probably the most fearful one of all is uncertainty about the future. During the lockdown, the country experienced a staggering rise in anxiety. On May 4, William Wong of the Washington Post reported that the country is on the verge of another health crisis, with daily doses of death, isolation, and fear generating widespread psychological trauma. The anxiety eased by about 40% a month later, as the country began to roll back lockdowns, reported the Medical Express, but now that the number of cases is rising once again and states are reissuing stay-at-home orders, anxiety is bound to rise again. American authorities at all levels must draw a clear plan that will secure basic livelihood for every person, and enhance the social ties of individuals into communities. With all that has been going on in America over the past few months, uncertainty about the future is the last thing the country needs. Since this anxiety stems from a real fear that people will have no job and no way to make a living, there is only one way to deal with it. American authorities at all levels must draw a clear plan that will secure basic livelihood for every person, and enhance the social ties of individuals into communities. People must know what is going to happen to them, to their children, and to society as a whole. Therefore, as soon as possible, authorities must initiate open virtual sessions that explain how all the systems work. People have to know that contagion is not limited to viruses, we are an integrated society and affect one another on every level. The closing of one small business has a negative impact on many people who are seemingly unrelated to it, suppliers, delivery personnel, accountants, manufacturers, property owners, etc. The same chain of infection that applies to COVID-19 applies to everything we do, say, or even think. If it is positive, we are transmitting positivity. If it is negative, we are transmitting negativity. Likewise, one person's depression affects not only that person's kin and friends, but the friends of the friends, friends of the kin, healthcare workers, co-workers and the people they know, and so forth. The same chain of infection that applies to COVID-19 applies to everything we do, say, or even think. If it is positive, we are transmitting positivity. If it is negative, we are transmitting negativity. Only once people internalize this, they will begin to feel responsible for one another, and that responsibility will pull them out of their down and mobilize them into constructive action. In the near future, travel and tourism will drop sharply, as will sports and entertainment, trade in accessories, and countless other industries that thrived until a few months ago, leaving tens of millions out of work. These people will need help fast, and the only things that will help them are 1, basic sustenance, 2, grasping our mutual connectedness, and 3, enhancing their social ties and connection to the community. Medium published my new article, Why All the Hate? Wherever we look these days, it seems like hate is engulfing the world. It's not as though there was no hate before, but in recent months, it seems like there is no escape from it. On the one hand, hate has been recognized as man's most basic feature, if you will. Even the Bible writes, "The inclination of a man's heart is evil from his youth," Gen 8:21. So we can't really expect much else from people. On the other hand, judging by the recent escalation in racism-driven violence, and the protests against it, it looks as though hatred is pushing America over the edge. Developing love is not some relic notion from the 1960s, it is the only way we can truly understand the world we live in, since it is the only thing that is out of balance in nature's equilibrium, and the only thing that nature will not balance by itself, but has left for us to do. Hatred is a uniquely human trait. No animal hates another animal, even when it feeds on it or when it is food for another animal. There is certainly fear, but there is no hatred. People are different. Their hate manifests in their delight at someone else's pain or humiliation. But there is a good reason why humans possess such a vile element in their nature. They are the only species intended to grasp the making and purpose of creation. In creation, everything exists through a dynamic equilibrium, aka homeostasis, between opposites. Opposites are required for our perception. We cannot detect light without darkness, heat without cold, satiation without hunger, happiness without sadness, and good without bad. On all levels of nature, the equilibrium happens naturally. In humans, the equilibrium is maintained naturally only on the biological level. On the human, social level, nothing is maintained naturally. If you look at the social life of animals, you will find that they are perfect for their species, stable, and almost completely unchanging. There is no fundamental difference, for example, between the way dogs behaved 2 centuries ago and how they behave today. But compare people 2 centuries ago to people today, and you will hardly find anything that has remained the same. The difference between animals and people is that nature governs the social life of animals, dictates how they should behave. They obey their natural instincts and everything runs smoothly. People, on the other hand, have no internal compass. We must be taught everything, especially when it comes to society. At birth, nature endows us with only an animalistic desire to survive, which, as we grow, evolves into a desire to take pleasure in other people's pain and humiliation. But there is a reason for it. If we develop the positive feature within us, the positive opposite from the inherent negative, we will discover how all of nature works, since all of nature also works by balancing opposites. This is the great gift that nature has given only to humans, the ability to develop the balance that sustains all of reality by themselves. This is why nature has given us one half, the negative, and left for us to build the positive. Had it given us both, we would be living by instincts like all other animals. Therefore, developing love is not some relic notion from the 1960s, it is the only way we can truly understand the world we live in, since it is the only thing that is out of balance in nature's equilibrium, and the only thing that nature will not balance by itself, but has left for us to do. When we do, we will understand nature and we will know how to navigate our lives smoothly and peacefully. Let's look at where we don't know how to conduct ourselves instinctively. Parenthood, relationships, social relations with peers at school, work, or in the company of strangers. In all areas of human engagement, we need these codes in order to compensate for the absence of love between us. And because our hatred for each other keeps on growing, we must constantly update our rules and regulations, which still cannot truly make up for the absence of love. If they did, we would not see such a staggering escalation in the rates of depression, substance abuse, suicide, and violence. If we had love for one another in society, we wouldn't need moral codes or even rules and police. Better yet, we would create the opposite of hate, the equilibrium that governs all of nature but humanity. We would not only be able to navigate our lives successfully, but we would truly grasp the making and purpose of creation. Devotion to the Creator. Question: what does it mean to be devoted to the Creator? Answer: the Creator is the general system of an integral, closed nature that is in constant dynamic equilibrium. To be faithful to the Creator means to maintain the balance of nature, its homeostasis. In this case, the right and left lines, that is, egoism and altruism, good and bad qualities, must be balanced in such a way that all of nature can exist harmoniously and develop so that all parts complement each other. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, April 26, 2020, Part 2. Question: how can I demand anything from the Creator? Doesn't He have a plan that we will all reveal Him? Answer: the Creator has a precise plan for each of us, but the fact is that He is revealed only according to our requests. Question: is there a limit to the evil that we reveal? Answer: there is no evil. It exists only as the reverse side of goodness. In other words, the reverse side of the Creator is felt as evil in order to force us to turn to His face. Question: why are there more doubts during this pandemic? Answer: with the coronavirus, there are as many doubts as at the time of any other suffering because they make us feel to what extent we are dependent on each other, unable to control ourselves, miserable, unsure of anything, etc. Therefore, all kinds of complexes appear, confusion, and so on. Question: who am I? Answer: you are the one who feels his little egoism. Question: what is more effective than persistence in communicating with others in order to help them? Answer: love. Question: is pride and admiration for Kabbalistic truth related to bestowal? Answer: number question: how can you reach out to friends, to the environment, when they cease to understand you? It seems to me that by studying Kabbalah I understand people less, but shouldn't it be the other way around? Answer: no, it should not be the other way around. You should strive to understand the Creator and try to approach Him through your friends. Question: how can I increase my egoism? Answer: you should not increase or decrease your egoism. You should only direct yourself to the correct goal. And what kind of egoism it should be, bigger or smaller, its volume, its form, that is not up to you. You just need to work with what arises in you. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 26, 2020. New Life 1241. Global Community.
Shalom lachem, toda shatem itzalchem.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. And today we'd like to talk about neighborship and community life. Before we start with the questions, I'd like to read a short quote called Ofel from China. He's an Israeli that lives in China, and he was quarantined to his home like everyone else, and on the 44th day of the quarantine, he wrote, "One day, we'll get out of here. Everything will be over. We'll defeat this virus. We'll come out healthy, breathe fresh air. Outside, there'll still be spring, I hope, and then we will decide what are we going to do now, because going back to the life that we had, no matter how good they were, we won't be able to. Doesn't matter where will we choose to live, one thing I'm sure of. Wherever we will live, there will have to be a warm community, supportive community. We will want to live next to people that can help you in a time of trouble, and such people that you would like to share the sack, your last sack of rice or flour." This feeling of good neighborship, community life, really evoke throughout this period, not only in China, you could also really see it in Israel and in other places. And obviously that in times of distress, we feel a need for community life, for mutual support, for mutual guarantee, mutual responsibility. But why do we feel the need for community life only in times of distress? Because we're egoists, and if I feel good, I'll never, ever think about anyone else, ever. And if I feel bad, then I'm thinking about who can help me. And therefore, only in these unpleasant cases, frightening cases, then I need for society to support me, to help me, so that I will simply have someone to rely on. Therefore, if the coronavirus will be over and we will be able to go back to all of our previous life, sure we will, because our ego will push us even more cruelly to our imaginary engagements that there's no need for. Therefore, I'm very hopeful that this virus will not completely disappear, but that it will have many results, some of which will be that we will feel that we are living on one round planet, completely interdependent, and that this virus can freely roam among us, regardless of whether airplanes are flying or not, that it's really passing in the air at any possible speed. And if not this virus, then there will be other viruses no less dangerous. And that together with every blow that we'll get systematically, that we'll understand what kind of form do we have to take on so that these blows will not come to us, that these viruses are coming in order to teach us about the form that society, human society, has to take on. To be connected, to be consistent of people that support one another, to be as one nation all around the planet, and so on. I really hope that we will advance toward this at least a bit. And so the next virus will come and will teach us another lesson and another lesson and another one. And so with each and every lesson, with each and every virus, we'll learn another lesson until we'll finish school. And out of there will come a unified, united humanity all around the planet, where everyone understands that this is our home and everyone knows how to protect and keep it. In ancient times, people lived in tribes, complete community life. This is what we started out with. Afterwards, we shifted to the model of extended families, and later on, nuclear families. There are many walls, many partitions that separate us from one another. We've built them. Why did a person move into a more individual way of life? Because of our ego that's developing from one day to the next in each and every one of us. Only because of that. And why did we lose our sense of community? Because if we're such egoists, we can't live in a community. Everyone wants to be king of the world. The way it sounds, it's a natural process. Of course, if when I was a child, I grew up in the family, I would bring a woman from the same village. I'd build my house next to my parents and continue living my life that way. And if my father was, for example, a blacksmith or a farmer, then I'd continue. No problem. And this is how we arranged our life, everyone according to their own family. And today, it's completely not so. We're separate. We're separated. We don't want to be in the same direction. Everyone wants to be something of their own. This is what our ego demands of us. If so, the question is, from here on, where is it headed? Comes the corona blow and once again awakened this hidden feeling, dormant feeling in us for a community life. We saw how younger people helped older people that couldn't leave their homes. They went shopping for them. We saw shopping for food. We saw a motive of a kind of renewed community life. How do you see the community life that a person has forsaken as a result of the development of our individualism? Do we have to go back to that? Is it regression? No, it's not regression. If we overcome our ego grows on the one hand. And we want to correct the way we use it on the other hand, so it's not regression. Were we to decrease our ego, which is impossible, but suppose, then that's called regression, to go back to how things were 100 years ago. But if with our ego in parallel to it, we correct it, that's not regression, that's progression. What is it supposed to lead us to? What is the more advanced form of life that we can advance to? That we know how to use all of our natural forces, also the general force of the ego, that everything exists in it in order to bring us to good, for us to know how to use it, because there is nothing redundant in nature, including man. We only have to know how to arrange these forces. How can a community life help an individual deal with crises? Well, this is something well known, that it all depends on the community, society, environment. The environment can keep me on all level, on any level that I'd want to. The environment is everything. It gives you support, a sense of a spirit of enlivenment. The educational, providing me with an educational system for my parents, my family, my everything. Society is everything. Without a society, we will not be able to make it in life, to survive, obviously. The only problem is that we're not advancing our society to become a more and more suited society, for our new way of living, making it more suitable for it. Today, we're living in the virtual era. There are many communities on the social media. When I think about it, there is a major difference between a virtual community and the physical community of the past. For example, I grew up on a farm, and we had a communal life. Today, when I go visit there, many people tell me, with, you know, this kind of feeling of sorrow, this place, this village, isn't how it used to be. I haven't been living there for a long time now, but they're saying, out of kind of longing and pain, the village isn't what it used to be, because this is an example for a physical kind of community. Whereas in the virtual community, people connect into different kind of communities. If you're a programmer, you can join other programmers to be in this kind of community. If you do something else, you can be in a different kind of community. What does this allow you? First of all, it allows you to set the boundaries. How much do you want to participate and how much do you want to keep your own privacy? You get information, you share information, everything is in control. It doesn't pressure you. It doesn't burden you. You can disconnect at any given moment. Now, I'm not talking about this in order to say that one community is better than the other, but to simply try and understand. In the future, like you said, we're not the same people we used to be. Everyone has a very big ego nowadays. How did this development that brought us to such a strong degree of individualism, how will this allow us to live a community life, and how will this allow us both to keep our personal freedoms but also feel connected? This is how I see it. In order to bring a person to a correct way of living, and the correct way of living has to be a communal one, of a community, in a community, of the entire world, that the entire world will be as one community. Because all in all, if we look at the future, then with the help of technology, equipment, internet, and so on, we are already becoming more or less one community. If not, then after a few such blows, viruses, Corona 20, 30, I don't know what, we will take on a rounder form, either through blows or through recognition, through understanding. Since we have to take on this round form that the viruses are also advancing us toward that, then I have to think. How can I achieve this kind of connection like you spoke previously about life in the farm, where people were more or less connected somehow in a small village? Or I can't do it. I'm an egoist. And my ego from day to day is growing. So how can I withstand it? I can't. I am a serious person. I look at life with wide open eyes, and I know who I am, what I am. I do not have the ability to resist my ego, that I want to be better than everyone, safer than everyone, and so on. So what do you do? And therefore, here comes the matter of a teaching of where we are, what kind of blows are we going to get, and what's going to happen if we don't do it. And therefore, this is what is up ahead. I'm dealing with my own ego. I can't do anything against it on the one hand. On the other hand, I know that if I arrange my environment correctly, then surely this environment will be able to deal with my ego. It will put pressure on it and will force me to behave normally. The main thing is for us to explain to everyone the need for it. But this is exactly what you mentioned just now, the root of the problem. The community will force the individual to act normally. An individual doesn't want for anyone to pressure him. Therefore, the community models of the past, they fell apart. Suppose a kibbutz like we had here in Israel, second, third generation, they don't want it. They don't want for the community to pressure them. This is why they fell apart. So how will this model help people participate in a community? I understand, but this pressure will be the pressure of learning and understanding the need for it. No one will want it. By my ego, I want to be king of the world. And so does everyone else. And every woman wants to be queen of the world, obviously. And every child wants to be the son of the king. This is something that exists in everyone, and we have already reached the state where it is clear and there is nothing to hide. Now the question is, how do we deal with what comes to us from nature? So it's only through education and pressure, social pressure. Education for community life, what is it going to renew about life in the community? We have no place to run to. We are living on one small planet, and we're all interdependent. I can't leave my community unless I fall on the hands of another community. But all in all, there has to be the same law all around the world among all people, and there is no way, other way about it. Let's talk about the individual. What is an individual supposed to receive from the community that he is a part of? First of all, security. Mental security, personal security. He knows that he has what to eat tomorrow, he has a place to live, he has a place for his family, how to deal with any problem, health problem, physical problem, anything and everything. Only a community can provide this to a person. Why can a person not actually buy this? With the help of material goods, with the help of money. It reaches a state where you can partially, like it was and also like it is now, you can buy it for money. But it reaches such states where you feel how weak you are and that you won't be able to do it. This is one thing. And another thing is that you will not be able to protect yourself from viruses, illnesses, the so-called upper force, with the help of money against different unknown upper superior or higher pests that come to you because you're breaching the laws of the integral nature. Can a community secure a person from these kinds of pests? From these kinds of destructors? Yeah. How? Because in a community, there is an integral force that it generates, and this force is in equivalence of form with the whole of nature. If you can elaborate a bit, this is really interesting. How can a community life help protect a person from viruses and other unknown things? It is according to the law that you can't destroy a deserted city. Meaning what? That the connection between egoists, it is a very strong force. If each of them concedes his own ego in order to connect with others, they generate by that such a force of nature that is revealed in them that you can't do anything about them. You can't deal with them. Suppose we take the virus as this destructor that came to us. How does he know whether a person is living a community life that he's trying to connect with other people or not? Ask the virus. If I could, I would, but no, the virus will tell you that I harm only those that are disputed between them. Oh, what did you just say? I told you the law and a big secret of the laws of the world, that these viruses, they come in order to show us how all of us are egoistically connected against one another. And these viruses, they come in order to give us a blow, to bring us to a state where we can think about how to overcome the situation in order to reach a safer, better situation. And then, necessarily, we let go of all the wars, all the disputes, all the everything, and we come to a better state. Previously, you said something beautiful. You said that community life nowadays has to include all the people in the world. One global community of 8 billion people. Like the whole of nature. Now, suppose I'm watching you, and I want to start realizing this. I live in my nuclear family. I live in a 20-story building. There are, I don't know, 80 families there. I work at a place with other colleagues. Where do you recommend, what would you recommend? Where to start implementing this model of community life? Practical advice of how to build a community that will suit the global changes. I think that we have to start in the framework of a country. That it has to do with a nation. It has to do with citizens. That it includes families, children, men, women, older, younger. And to start building this new kind of community life, for it to include all the different forms of population, children, youth, old people, men, women, younger people, adults, everyone. And at workplaces, at wherever people are engaged in something, we have to start working on the understanding of what does a community life mean, and gradually this way to start realizing them. So, suppose where I work, I have 10-15 people in my team, there are other teams, other departments in the organization that I work in. How do I start advancing, promoting this thought about community? I don't think that it can come from workplaces or something, but it really has to be the work of a nation in a way that it comes down from the government and not from some small organization or workplace, from your bosses and so on. I think that either after a big decision of an entire nation that will force the government for them to start doing what they're supposed to be doing, and not all day long to fight about who knows what. This is the work. So you're seeing it as a formula that wherever there are people, we add some kind of social aspect component. Yeah. One more very interesting thing you mentioned, that a person, once he will be connected in a community, he will be protected from external problems, so to speak. Of course, we are connected in an integral nature, and if we will be connected integrally with that nature, both between us and also with the still vegetative and the animate, why should any harm come from it? We can reach a state where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. So, community isn't only about people, but also animals. It will happen in and of itself for sure, because we are the highest degree in nature. And if we know how to arrange good relations between us, suddenly you will reveal this in everyone else. That's beautiful, this picture. Wait, didn't you see how rabbits suddenly go out into the parks? Not only rabbits, even larger animals. Where did they come from? We didn't even know that they exist. There were cases where people never thought that this species still exists. I'm not really familiar with all the, but where does this come from? Nature feels that suddenly we folded a bit, that we're not coming to coerce it, to control it, all the more to kill it. Nature also feels the change in the relations between people. If we live a bit more in a community, nature will feel this, of course. The animate, the vegetative, and even the still levels, you want to calm volcanoes down, tsunamis, relate positively in a good and nice way towards others, toward each other. Don't think that nature is the kind of mess that you have in your head. Unfortunately, our time's up. Dr. Lightman, community life in the 21st century. It's not going back to the village you lived in, but it is to build the right kind of village for the entire world. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
New Life 1240. Mental Resilience in the Coronavirus Era.
Hello, thank you for being with us. We're here with our New Life series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. We can hear you. Hello, everyone. This is our 1,240, the number of this series, the challenges as a result of the corona, mental challenges. The experts are saying we're heading up to a tsunami of post-corona mental illness. When they try to analyze it, they're talking about isolation, that people aren't being to the increased anxiety. There were situations where people couldn't get to the medication they need, the economic uncertainty, the fear of the future, many factors that all together create a situation where a person who's now starting to come out of lockdown is in a mental state, very fragile mental state. So they're anticipating a great increase with mental issues. How do you see our situation, mental situation, coming out of lockdown? I see it as very not simple. I think it's far more difficult than what people think. We're in a situation at the point of the crisis, the point of birth. Crisis is called birth. Of the new situation, the new humanity, new life, and more births and more situations that in a series humanity will receive upon itself these changes. This crisis, I don't know how much it influenced. Its goal was to show us that we live in a global world where we're all connected to one another around the globe and dependent on one another, truly around the globe. I'm not sure that humanity understands this. Of course, the politicians don't understand this. And the tycoons, they also don't understand. And if there's philosophers, scientists here and there, they don't have strength to explain and awaken humanity to look at things this way. So it turns out that we're in a situation that's very not simple. I want to ask about this non-simple situation and break it down into factors to understand what causes a person today this non-simple mental situation that's so complex. Is it social isolation, the fact that we're social creatures, that we went through a stage where we had to stay closed inside our homes, caused a person some shake-up, how do you see the influence of isolation, this forced isolation, on a person's mental state? No, many times we sat in isolation. I remember in the war, the Gulf War, there were all kinds of situations. There's no problem. I don't think it's a problem for Israel. We couldn't go out with the kids. Let's even say without life danger, you're sitting at home and everything. You have to wait for the wave to pass over you, and that's it. I don't think that's the problem. So what do you think is the main factor that causes a person to have a very fragile mental state? He doesn't know himself, but I know. What is the main factor? The main factor is that we're going into a system, an integral system, that's round, like a ball, where we're all dependent on one another, connected to one another, responsible for one another, around the globe. We're still continuing to pretend, to play with power, wars,
force,
but it's not working. It's not working anymore. We still don't understand, but we can already feel that it's not the missiles playing with all these things. It's like kids that are fighting with each other in some groups with the sticks. We're in a situation where we don't know what system we're going back to, because we're not going back to a system. We think we're going back. We're demanding, where's the store? Where's the restaurant? Where's this company? Where's this that there was before? It was there before. And we won't be able to go back to what was there before. Do you think that people's mental health is going to decrease? It's like we lost the world. We lost the world that we were in. That somehow it wasn't a good world, clearly. We all used to complain and scream and criticize that world without end, but it was clear to us what we had to do and how to behave, and now it's not. Now it's unknown. As we go back, and where to go back, and how to go back, do we still work from home? Suddenly I hear, no, they don't want to work from home. They want to work from offices, etc., etc. Meaning, we don't know where we're headed. Apart from that, whether we like it or not, half of the small businesses can't exist. At least. Whichever way you put it. It's going to be a lot less effective. If I understand, I'll summarize. We lost the world that we had, the world that we knew. It was far from perfect, but at least we knew how to deal with it, that we lost. And we have no clue where we're headed. Everything has become unknown. Meaning, altogether, the factor that is awakening our mental state is actually this lack of certainty. The lack of certainty of an average person. Toward this precise element, after we define this uncertainty of where we're headed, I'm continuing to the next stage. What can provide us with protection, mental protection, so we won't reach a state where we're harming our soul? The health of the spirit, that's the main issue. If we don't understand where we are, it's as if we lost our anchor. And this is what we need to say. The world has become an integral world, and we need to see from the scenario playing out that humanity, the nations, continents, the countries, they're becoming more connected to one another, even though you can see no hand directing it. It's coming from nature. If we understand this, if we feel this, if we work according to this as we should, then surely we'll be able to understand and succeed. But it's only on the condition that we'll relate properly to what's happening. Nature is inviting us to be part, the integral part of all the form of nature. Nature is completely integral, global. All the parts are connected to one another. It's one source, one system, where all its parts are supportive and support each other like the cells in one body. And we don't want to be, we don't want to participate in a beneficial way to this thing. And this is where the problem starts. This is why it's called His hand is in all and everything. That we are the strongest and we are the worst. That we are not going along with the integralness of nature. In this picture, what do you feel is the main element that can provide the private person with this protection, this anchor, so that they won't get into real, like, mental shock? First of all, to know where he is. This is what we talk about in many places. We study this from all the sciences, natural sciences. There's tons of material, but our ego doesn't want us to absorb this integral picture, because it obligates us to participate in each and everything around us and relate to everything happening around us in a responsible manner. I want to speak from a wider perspective about the population. In Canada, they're talking about the most important thing being dealing with corona is they're doing everything to increase the emotional strength of the population. How do you see a population, a country, to feel protected and not being broken by this crisis? It depends on every country, a nation. Apart from Canada and other countries, as much as I know Canada, there they have relatively good conditions. They have natural resources, they have water, electricity, they have tons of agriculture, everything. It's a country. The population itself not coming from the close east, it's coming from the far east. It's a big difference. The people that are coming to live there, it's something else. We can take an example from Canada. But surely, I'm very concerned that humanity won't want to receive this form of the ball, this circle of integralness of nature as a necessity that's telling us that we must finally think about the general ecology, about the general society, how to help one another, how to support one another, because we're dependent on the egoistic forces and now it's coming apart. So what's going to hold us? In psychology, one of the tools they recommend to people to get through difficult stages where reality is shaking us up, to maintain their mental strength and not get into a big crisis, they recommend thinking positively. Whatever happened to you, start looking at it with different eyes, that it's not a great disaster, but there might be something positive. What do you think about this attitude? Can it help us today? It can help us, but on the other hand, we shouldn't erase the negative phenomena that are standing in our way. We shouldn't close our eyes like little kids and pretend it doesn't exist. We mustn't do that. In this way, we can reach much greater crises. Therefore, we must look correctly at what's happening. Not get into panic and get too emotional. On the other hand, we need to know that we're responsible for what's happening. And what's happening, we caused it with our There's many problems with the way we relate to nature, the way we relate to humanity, and we cause it. Another thing psychologists recommend to protect yourself from some mental breakdown is to take up all kinds of hobbies that will distract you from these bad thoughts about what will happen in the future. What do you think of that? I think it's not a mature way of looking at it. This is what kids do. They want to close themselves up. Let's play. We don't care. Whatever happens. There's many psychological methods. Or apparently, I don't think it's correct. We've reached a situation where nature can no longer stand us, that the earth can no longer stand us, that we're warming up the water in the oceans. What do we do with the air? What do we do with the earth, with ourselves? We've reached a state where everything's allowed. How much can nature hang on? It's a general system. Global system is keeping in balance. How much of this homeostasis, this balance of all the parts of nature, of all the levels of nature, can remain even with us going in there and wanting to break this balance? Meaning the main central point where we're making a mistake is the ecological crisis that we're causing due to our behavior. That's the ecological crisis. But also in ecology, we're there as part of creation. We're there with our psychology, with our relations, also to people and also to nature, to all the levels of nature. Everything is there. Ecology is not apart from a person, how a person relates to nature. It includes a person, how he relates to himself and those around him. So what there is not stable, what's not organized properly in how a person relates to himself and those around him and to other humans, what causes this mental, first of all, lack of consideration for one another, lack of consideration for nature around us. We're not educating ourselves to be truly humans living in the correct society, global. We appear wild, limited. I would say so not intelligent. I don't even know how to put it. It's embarrassing to see people behaving this way. Look what's happening in every government in the world. Look what's happening, how a person's treating natural resources. Why is he destroying nature to replace it with paper, with those dollars, and put them into a safe? These natural resources aren't worth more than those papers? Surely the person doesn't understand where he is. And we don't have another planet. We're in a state. Nature is already starting to protect itself in an aggressive way, aggressively toward us. We saw how in 2 months, when we were in lockdown, we saw what happened with nature. Water changed, the air changed. Suddenly the animals came out and they're walking around the parks and the streets. They felt that there's no pressure, no fear from people. Why do they have to be afraid of people? Why are the plants afraid of people? Water can even feel that we're destructive, the only destructive force in nature. So what does nature do? It wants to take us out of this whole apparatus to remove us. So coronavirus, and I'm sure there's many other worse means in line, it's the reaction of nature to us. And in nature, it's the force of bestowal against the force of reception. It's two opposite forces. We awaken these forces. We awaken the coronavirus, all these things. It's us, humans, because of our relations and our relations throughout nature. And we've already reached a state where ahead of us there's a whole series of blows, and I don't know what will be left of humanity if we don't change our behavior. So you're asking what the main thing is? The main thing is to understand that we are the main force to cause the integralness of all of nature. The only thing left is to focus on what can you recommend to me on a practical level, a tip for strengthening my mental strength. What advice can you give me to strengthen myself for everything that's coming? We don't need to look at nature like this. I don't need to protect myself from nature. I need to go along with nature. This attitude is wrong, that I need to protect myself. I need to protect myself. I need to close myself off. I need to be afraid from all the blows, all these things. Where's my armor? No. Of course not. That's not the path. We need to be friendly between us and friendly toward the nature around us, vegetative and animate. We need to relate to it because we all belong to the same planet, and now we must make a calculation and really make it healthy from this situation that we brought it to. What does that mean to relate in a friendly way, and how can it influence my mental state, my personal mental state? First of all, to understand that we live on one planet and we're all dependent on one another. And we mustn't waste the things that come from nature, things that are necessary. We need to understand how we relate to other people, how we protect ourselves by having good relations between us, because our thoughts influence very much the planet and the forces around it, because our thoughts are the highest level, the upper force in our nature. We need to begin to teach people, to educate people on the planet that we belong to one group of 8 billion people, but it's one group. And we all have the same planet. And it's not so big now. And we need to think how we live in it. And from all this, by developing new systems of life, we can't, after these viruses, go back to what was before. We can't. It won't help us. It won't help. Nature will bend us now, gradually, and if we resist and want to go back, we'll get the next blow. But nature will force us to understand who we are. What tip can you give me so that I'll reduce the pressure slightly? I don't want to reduce the pressure. Reducing the pressure, that's not what I want. I want nature to press us as much as possible until people accept what they need to protect nature and to return it to a better state even. So how would you define the mental change that we must go through? From the side of nature, I wouldn't soften anything on us. I would hold us like this so that we would maintain the necessary work we need for maintaining humanity, only the really necessary ones, and everything else, they should be cancelled. They should be on unemployment, so what? What do we need it for? Nothing will happen if we don't open boutiques and restaurants and barbers and all the beauticians and everything. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen if we work from home, most people. We'll put out less garbage to the street. Look what happened. Even less deaths than usual. With corona and everything. So what's bad? Why bad? We need to force people to think what kind of life we need to have if we're in harmony with one another and with nature. What regular life we need to have. I think that half of humanity doesn't even have anything to do. It doesn't need to work. They need to study. They need to study. Like little kids, the big people also need to study. How to be in good relations between them with nature, how to cause good to the whole population, to the air, to the whole globe. Put them out to do small things, arrange fields, trees, all kinds of things that will be healthy and healthy for nature. And really teach us how to relate properly between us and to nature. This is what people need to do. Apart from basic necessity, of course. Basic necessity, of course. But how many people need to work for that? 10%, 20% of the population. And everyone else? Everyone else are just making a profit off each other, and they're ruining the infrastructure. They're harming nature. Last question in one sentence. How can you conclude the mental challenge that is standing before us? A person has to start dealing with correcting himself and correcting the world, and not breaking himself and breaking the world. Let's hope we succeed. Good luck. Thank you, Rav Lyman. Thank you for being with us. New Life Series, we're learning to live well. All the best.